storms already, and so hopefully we've seen the last of them, but I'm convinced that God does have a sense of humor as we go through this experience with him, it seems like, each year. Thank you, Pastor, so much for inviting us, allowing us to be a part of what God's doing at Calvary. We always have enjoyed our time of ministry so very, very much and are looking forward to what God's going to do in this service this morning. Now, just before we share the message of the morning, let me just take a quick moment to mention the table that is set up in the back foyer area with some books and CDs, and to let you know that the table runs itself. So don't feel like we have to be back there. Don't wait for us to come back there. If you're buying a book, you're buying a CD, you'll find a gray box on the table. Paying with a check, make it out to Fresh Fire Ministries, put it into the gray box. Paying with cash, put it into the gray box. If you need change, then come and find us. Paying with a credit card or a debit card, then come and find us. Otherwise, the table runs itself. Everything's available for a $15 donation, unless there's a sticker saying something else. Some books are $10, they have a $10 sticker on them. Some CD packages are $20, they have a $20 sticker on them. And the $20 packages have two CDs, then some have three CDs in them, and that's why they're $20. Now, let me just quickly mention a few items that are back there that are new since we've been with you last. There's a book that is probably about the second or third church that this book has been available on our table, and it's called Hope in the Last Days, Be Prepared for the Biblical Prophecies Coming to Pass, written by Dave Williams, one of our Assemblies of God pastors, just recently retired from Lansing, Michigan, well known in the Assemblies of God, teaches leadership seminars and things like that. So just an excellent, excellent book on the subject of end times. And then, since we've been with you last, we have written a book ourselves on the Holy Spirit called More Power, Supersizing the Working of the Holy Spirit for Life and Ministry. And it's basically a manual on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Talks about how the Holy Spirit dwells within every believer. Talks about the baptism in the Holy Spirit that's available to every believer. How to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, how to release the baptism in the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and how to not short-circuit the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so it covers the baptism in the Holy Spirit from A to Z. So if you're interested in that book for yourself, it'd be an excellent manual. Or maybe you know people that are interested in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's a book that they cannot misunderstand. And so it's very simple, easy to follow. And so we just encourage you to look at that. And hey, it's one of the $10 books back there. You can get it on Amazon for $12.99, plus pay the shipping, and you're looking at $15 or $16. Hey, you can get it back there for $10, and there's no shipping. So hey, that's the best deal back there. And then this one deals basically with our message this morning, having a passion and a fire for God, deals with revival and living the Spirit-filled life, and it's by John Bevere, well-known author, and it's called Heart Ablaze, Igniting a Passion for God. So that's available back there. Music of all different kinds, couple of CDs that are new. This one's called Wow Hits 2018, and this one's called Top 25 Praise Songs. It's all around the theme of Good, Good Father. In fact, that course is in there, and so we encourage you to look at those. Two other things to quickly mention. If you'd like to get our newsletter, write down your name and address on the sheet at the back table. If you want to get our weekly emailing, write down your email address. You want to get both of them, write down both addresses. And then one last thing, we encourage you, please pick up one of our prayer cards. Bring the card home, put it somewhere, you're going to see it. And whenever you see that card, remember us in prayer. I know some of you have been praying for us for several years already. Appreciate that very much. But if you've lost your card or if you're new to the church, well, pick up another card, put it on your refrigerator, put it in your Bible, and pray for us. We desperately need God every single week. No week we can say, well, God, this week you take a rest, we'll do this one on our own. We need God every single week. There's people praying across America and around the world for this service this morning. People in the Philippines, people in Ethiopia, people in Canada. Last week, on Easter Sunday, we were in Crandall, Indiana. They're praying for this service. Week before that was Walterboro, South Carolina. The week before that was Brooksville, Florida. Before that, Noma, Florida. Before that, Chiefland, Florida. Before that, a whole bunch of other Floridas. Now we're asking you to join that army of prayers and pray God's going to minister in Chicago next Sunday. The week after that, it'll be Geneva, Minnesota. After that, Bloomington, Indiana. After that, it's Wayland, Michigan, and on it goes. Doesn't matter where we go, we need God. You know, it doesn't matter if we're in the land of palm trees or we're in the land of snowbanks. We need God every single week. That's the bottom line. So bring that card home to remind yourself to pray for us, and we'd appreciate it so very, very much. I think that's all we're going to share regarding the table. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, if you would, please. And if you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. As I mentioned before, we've preached the last several times we've been here, we've preached on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this message this morning deals with keeping the fire going. And it's basically a message dealing with living the Spirit-filled life and a follow-up to those messages dealing with the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And I'm reading this morning from the New King James Version. And this is what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Paul writing to Timothy, and he says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Towards the beginning of verse 6, it says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you." If you have an NIV translation, it says, "Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you." If you'll join with me this morning and let's pray together out loud this morning, let's make it our personal prayer as we pray this prayer together out loud this morning. Pray with me out loud, please. Dear God, I thank you for who you are and for what you are doing in my heart, in my life, and in this church. And this morning, I ask you to further your work in my heart, in my life, and in this church. Have your way in me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. Whenever Beth and I go on vacation, one of the things we do at least 1 week out of the summer is we go camping and fishing. Typical vacation for us, we've done that for the last 42 years we've been married. I don't think we've missed any of those years where we've gone camping or fishing. Oh, Beth held up one finger. There was 1 year we missed. Now, I know I've just lost a bunch of you right there because camping is not your idea of a vacation at all. Wait, yeah, I see a hand go up there. When you think of camping, you think of bugs, you think of mosquitoes, you think of rain, you think of misery and agony, and you don't see nothing vacation-like out of camping and fishing. But we love to go camping, and we've done it for years, and one of the things we try to do when we go camping is we try to light the fire with one match at the beginning of the week and keep that fire going all week long, never using another match the rest of the week. Now, in order to do that, what you have to do is you light the original fire with that one match. Fire's burning great. Evening comes, we're having s'mores and visiting around the campfire, and then it's time to go to sleep. And so we go to sleep, the fire's going, but when we get up in the morning, you can't find a flame anywhere. But what we'll do is we'll find a stick and we'll begin to poke in those ashes. And somewhere in those ashes, we're going to find a glowing ember. And when we find that glowing ember, we will then find some paper and some sticks and put it by that glowing ember. And then we'll go and get a towel and we'll begin to fan that glowing ember. And within a few moments, that glowing ember will burst into flame and the fire's going for another day. The next morning we'll do the same thing, and the next morning we'll do it again, and we'll do it again, and we'll do it again. It's that kind of picture that Paul is painting in our text this morning when Paul says to Timothy, "Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands." So this morning, for these next few moments, we want to share a message that we've entitled, "Fanning the Flame." 3 points this morning. Point number one, revival needed. Lloyd Ogilvie, well-known preacher, author. Lloyd Ogilvie, when commenting on this portion of scripture, he said, "You know, it's kind of comforting to know that even Timothy, a key leader in the early church, needed revival." Even Timothy needed revival. Here's Timothy, born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, key leader in that early church. But Paul discerned that that fire, that passion had diminished in Timothy's life. And he needed to fan into flame that gift of God that was in him. Paul discerned that the fire, the spiritual passion had diminished in his life. And he needed to stir it up. And so Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. Now Jack Hayford, commenting on this portion of Scripture in the New Spirit-Filled Life Bible notes, points out two things. First of all, notice when Paul is writing to Timothy, he says to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you, or fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. Notice that the initiative, the responsibility was upon Timothy. Notice that the initiative for keeping the fire stirred up was upon Timothy. He says, you, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. And the second thing Jack Hayford points out is notice that while Paul does not specify the word gift, he does not specify the gift, his use of the Greek word charisma suggests a distinct manifestation of the Holy Spirit bestowed upon Timothy through the prayers of Paul. Now, according to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, it could perhaps refer to a ministry gift. But also we could apply it to the gift of salvation. We could also apply it to the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Or we can apply it to the ministry gift. But the point is that Paul is telling Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Fan into flame that gift of God that is in you. But have you ever noticed that life has a way of dampening the fire? Life happens, and it has a way of dampening the fire, the excitement for Christ, the enthusiasm for Christ, the passion for Christ. The zeal can begin to fade. Pressures of life can get us down. Problems of life can pile up. Worries and anxiety can pour cold water on the fire. Things don't work out the way that we had planned. Or maybe disappointments and discouragements have come and they stifle the passion. Dutch Sheet said it this way. He said, life can be difficult, at times brutal. The struggling economy is stealing jobs and destroying the dreams of many. Diseases seem to have multiplied, ravaging the health of some and taking the lives of others. Kids cut themselves and shoot their classmates. The government is broken and refuses to reform. The entire world, it seems, is filled with unrest and war. Then you add to that unfulfilled and shattered hopes and dreams. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be a failed marriage or one that never occurred. It could be a business that went under. You built it, but they didn't come. Or a family member who still hasn't come to Christ. Maybe it's an unkept promise or a gallant fight of faith that seemingly was lost. Maybe it's rejection or betrayal or false accusation or the death of a loved one or the death of a dream. And that list can go on and on and on. Life happens. Stuff happens in life. And the passion begins to wane and apathy begins to encroach. It's so easy to become apathetic and complacent and comfortable with just enough spiritual life, just enough. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy now to stir up the gift of God that is in you. Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. And then Paul begins to explain to Timothy how to do this. You know, that's one of the great things about Scripture. It not only tells us what we need to do, but it tells us how to go about doing it. And so Paul begins to address the issue with Timothy, and Paul tells Timothy, for God has not given to us the spirit of fear. God has not given to us the spirit of fear. What's interesting is the Greek word that is used for fear here is not the word that is used in most of the New Testament. When we think of the word fear, first thing that pops into mind is that momentary something that happens that causes panic or causes fear. I had one of those moments last summer when we were on our camping trip. We were camping near Medford, Wisconsin, at the Miller Dam flowage in the National Forest campgrounds there. And one of the things that I do is I run in the mornings. And so this particular morning, I left the campsite and I started running to the county road that's about a mile and a half away, and then I run back. And so I left the campgrounds. I'm about a half mile away from the campgrounds, running down a paved road towards that county road. And as I'm running along, minding my own business, just minding my own business, the birds are singing, and it's a beautiful, beautiful morning. And I'm running along, and all of a sudden, this huge black object comes out from the woods and starts crossing the road. At first, I thought, it's a dog. Then I realized, no dog is that big. And growing up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, I knew immediately what a bear was. And it was a huge black bear about 30 yards ahead of me starting to cross the road. And that bear starts crossing the road. And when I saw that was a bear, I instantly stopped in my tracks. And there was that moment of fear. I stopped in my tracks. And when the bear saw me, he stopped in his tracks. And here we are 30 yards apart. We're looking at one another. And I'm wondering, what is this bear going to do? Well, fortunately, he thought, I don't have time to mess with him. And so he went walking into the bushes and across the road into the woods. So then I thought, well, he's gone. I'm going to continue my run. Then I thought, oh, no, I'm not. He's probably waiting for me in the bushes. And so I turned around and I beelined it back towards the campgrounds, probably running a whole lot faster when I was going in that direction than I was in the original direction. But that was that moment of fear. What is that bear going to do? But the word that Paul uses here is a word that meant caution. It meant reserve. It meant timidity. It meant cowardice. And the Greek word for spirit is a word that meant attitude. You see, it was an attitude of caution and reserve and timidity and cowardice that had invaded into Timothy's life. The passion had diminished and an attitude of fear had set in. You see, when this kind of fear sets in, even when God has given us a directive or God has given us a promise or both, we are only willing to attempt what we are sure of in our own strength and our own resources. Smothered with negative thinking, it won't work. It's not possible. Stifled with feelings of inadequacy, thinking, I can't, we can't. Ceasing to trust the Holy Spirit's wisdom, the Holy Spirit's discernment, the Holy Spirit's vision and creativity and power. Let me illustrate it this way from Scripture. An Old Testament example. Remember when the Israelites were on the border of the Promised Land? And as they're on the border of the Promised Land, God says to the Israelites, I want you to send spies to spy out the Promised Land, the land that I have promised to you. God had given them a promise, the land that I have promised to you. God had given them a directive. I want you to send spies into the Promised Land. And so the Israelites, they send 12 spies to spy out the Promised Land. 10 of the spies, they come back and they say, oh yeah, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But oh, you should see the inhabitants. I mean, those inhabitants, they are huge. They're giants. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Their mindset was, there's no way we can do this. There's no way we can accomplish this. It doesn't matter what God has said. There's no way this can happen. But two of those spies, they came back. And they said, oh, the land, it's flowing with milk and honey. And oh, yeah, there's giants in the land. But their mindset was, with God, we can do this. God has promised. God has said, we can do this. We can do this. But you see, those original 10, they had a spirit of fear. They could not see what they could do through God and what God could accomplish through them. Today, when the spirit of fear invades a life, there's a fear of failure. There's a fear of our personal finances failing, a fear of losing our job, a fear of losing our health, a fear of making mistakes. And hey, you know what? Any one of those things can happen. Any one of those things can happen. We may fail at times. Our finances may take a hit at times. We may lose our job at times. We may lose our health at times. We may make mistakes at times. Any one of those things can happen, but we don't live in a spirit of fear. God is still God. God is still alive. God is still on the throne. Jesus is still alive. We celebrated that last Sunday. Jesus is still alive. You see, if we fail, we get up and keep serving Jesus. If our finances take a hit, we believe that God can supply. If we lose our job, we believe God can provide another one. If we lose our health, we believe God can heal and God can bring us through this. If we make a mistake, we believe God can help us through it and we're going to learn from it. God is still God. We're still serving a living God who is alive and well, and he is still able to work. I'm reminded of a little story, a little illustration I came across dealing with this little bird. This little bird was found in the midst of a horrendous storm. I mean, this bird was just grasping onto the branches of the tree, hanging onto this branch. The winds are blowing, feathers are fluttering in that wind, and that bird is just hanging onto that branch. And as that bird is hanging onto that branch, it continued to look the storm in the face, continuing to look that storm in the face, as if to say, shake me off. I've still got wings. You and I, we look at life and the things that happen in life, and we can say, whatever happens, I've still got Jesus. Whatever happens, I've still got Jesus. I still got Jesus. I think Thomas Edison exemplified that. I chuckle when I read this story about Thomas Edison. True story happened in December of 1914. A great sweeping fire destroyed Thomas Edison's laboratories in West Orange, New Jersey, wiping out $2 million worth of equipment and the record of much of his life's work, going up in flames. Edison's son Charles ran around frantically trying to find his father as the laboratories were burning. Charles, the son, said, I finally saw my father standing near the fire. He said, my heart ached for him. He was no longer young and everything was being destroyed. At that moment, Thomas Edison spotted his son and he yells out to his son, he says, where's your mother? Where's your mother? Go find her. Bring her here. She'll never see anything like this as long as she lives. Bring her here. What an attitude. But the rest of it goes like this. The next morning, walking around the charred embers of so many of his hopes and dreams had been burned, the 67-year-old Edison said, there's great value in disaster. All of our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start anew. Thank God we can start again. It's a new day. With God, we can start anew. Saw this on a church sign. It says, God can use reverses to propel us forward. Only in God's economy does that work. But God can use reverses to propel us forward. Paul says, stir up the fire. Revive the fire, fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. Our spirits were created to be filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Paul writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, Paul says this in a long list of instructions. Paul says, be fervent in spirit. Be fervent in spirit. The Greek word that is translated fervent is a word that literally means to be hot. It means to be boiling, to be hot, to be boiling, fervent in spirit, fervent in spirit. Without passion, life becomes dull, boring, routine, and monotonous. But we were meant to live passionately for Jesus with vitality, vibrancy, energy, and enthusiasm. Jesus said he came to give life and he came to give it to the fullest. John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Following Jesus was meant to be an exciting adventure. There's a song that we've heard sung In some churches, maybe you've sung the chorus here. You surely don't want me to sing it to you. I'd empty out the sanctuary in a minute, so I won't sing it to you. But there's these words to that chorus. It says, we know we were made for so much than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. We were made to thrive. We were made to thrive. I think David exemplified that. David boldly declaring after God, declaring that God would give Goliath into his hands. The Bible says he ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. Somebody called it running with a courageous heart. Our heritage as a believer in the Lord is to be like David, as bold as a lion and on the offensive. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 admonishes us, strengthen the knees that are feeble. Strengthen the knees that are feeble. The word translated feeble comes from a Greek word parleo, which we get our word paralyzed from that very same root word. Fear has a paralyzing effect. Other translations of the verse say, strengthen your shaky knees. Another one says, stand firm on your shaky legs. We were meant to be bold and courageous and have a passion and a fire burning our life for Jesus. And you know, it has nothing to do with age, but it has everything to do with our heart and our attitude. I find the older I get, I find more comfort in verses like these. Isaiah 46, verse 4. Even to your old age, I am he. Even to your gray hairs, I will carry you. Psalm 92, verse 14. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Psalm 71, verse 18. Now when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. I find great comfort in the fact that Paul, they tell us, was 70 years old when Paul wrote to the Romans, and he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. I find it comforting that Moses was 80 when he started to lead the Israelites. I find it comforting that Caleb was 85 when he said, give me this mountain. John was in his 90s and he still had a passion and a fire for Jesus. A few years ago, remember when Huldah Bontain spoke at our missions banquet? Huldah Bontain, she and her husband, they had been missionaries to Calcutta, India for decades. Mark Bontain, the husband, passed away some years ago. Huldah Bontain is now 90 years old and she is now leading the ministry. 90 years old. She's speaking at this banquet and she's like a ball of fire speaking at that banquet, 90 years old. I leaned over to Beth and I said, see, we can do this for another 30 years. I'm not sure if I had convinced her of that or not. But then we went to the general council later that year. And they were celebrating an Assemblies of God pastor from Virginia. And this lady pastor was 101 years old, still pastoring a church in Virginia. I said, see, we can do this for 40 more years. Now, obviously, sometimes age and health causes us to make adjustments. But our attitude, we're talking about attitude that's on fire and having a passion for Jesus. Having a passion and a fire for Jesus. Again, Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. Second of all, this morning, revival available. One of the things I've discovered about campfires is this. You need to have at least 3 logs in order to have a decent fire. Now, I know you've waited all morning long for those great words of wisdom, but you need to have 3 logs. We've seen a lot of things when we go out camping. We've seen people try to have a campfire with 1 log. Hey, it's not going to happen. In fact, you can't even have a good fire with 2 logs. You have to have at least 3 logs in order to have a decent fire. It's just not going to happen with 1, 2, or 2. You need to have at least 3 logs in order to have a decent fire. I find it interesting that as Paul continues now telling Timothy what to do, he says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And of a sound mind. 3 spiritual logs, so to speak, to keep that fire going. First of all, he's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to live passionately for Him. He gives us the power to live passionately for Him. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, we've preached on this before. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the outermost parts of the earth. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to passionately live the life that He wants us to live, to be what He wants us to be, and to do what He wants us to do. The power of the Holy Spirit to endure the pressures of life, to demonstrate our faith, to share our faith, as we learned in our Sunday school class this morning. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit also to be different, to be shining lights in a dark world. Shining lights in a dark world. To be more than people who just curse the darkness. Anybody can curse the darkness and tell how bad things are out there. But we were meant to be shining lights in a dark world. And not only shining lights in the church building, but shining lights in a dark world out there. I'm reminded of something Glenn Berto said, one of our Assembly of God preachers. He said it this way: church doesn't start until we leave the building. That's when church really starts. We come to church to be revived, to be refreshed, to be renewed, to learn. And we come to church for many purposes and many reasons. But then we go out there, revived, refreshed, renewed, to be shining lights in a dark world. And that's what he's saying. Church doesn't really start until we leave the building. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to be bold and courageous, not filled with a spirit of fear, but with a spirit of power. Second of all, He has given us the love to live passionately for Him. He loves us. He loves us. Regardless of our situations and circumstances, we can know that He loves us. Whatever your situation may be this morning, you can know that He loves you. You may not understand your situation this morning, but He loves you. You may not even like the situation you're in right now, but He likes you. He loves you, I should say. He loves you. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Romans 8, verses 37 and 39, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He loves us. You see, our circumstances do not dictate or determine whether He loves us. He loves us. Period. He loves us, period. The circumstances do not dictate whether He loves us or not. He loves us. Romans 8:31, then we know that what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? But we can be passionate about Him and live passionately because we know He loves us and we can trust God. Even when the world is crashing down around us, our faith enables us to be ruthlessly honest about the situation and our pain. But we have a rock solid faith that God is good and God is still on the throne. Ephesians 3 verses 17 and 19 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and established in love to know the love of Christ. Rooted is an agricultural term and it means to have deep roots. We have deep roots in the fact that He loves us. Established is an architectural term and it means to have a solid foundation. We have deep roots and a solid foundation in the fact that He loves us. And because of that, listen to what it says in 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. We know that He loves us, and that casts out fear. And then, thirdly, He has given us the enablement for a sound mind to live passionately for Him. Greek word translated sound mind, it meant a disciplined mind, a self-controlled mind, a healed mind. Our greatest battles take place in the mind. If we can win the battle in the mind, the rest of it is pretty easy after that. But we can have a sound mind that is based on God's word, what God has said in His word. First of all, we can trust God for what He alone can control. We face a lot of things in life that we have no control over. Things happen. Stuff happens. People do things around us that affect us. A lot of things happen that we have no control over. But we can trust what God has said in His word, that He is with us. He's going to see us through. We're going to make it. Jensen Franklin said it this way. There's three things I regularly preach to myself. Number one is, Jesus is with me. Whatever I'm in the middle of, Jesus is with me. The second thing he says I preach to myself is God is at the bottom. It doesn't matter how deep the hole is, He's down there with me. And thirdly, he says I preach to myself that I have faith for this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can make it through this. And so we trust God and what He has said in His word in those times when we don't have any control over what has happened around us. And then secondly, we take control of what we can control, and that is our thought life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, Paul says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We think thoughts according to Scripture. We think thoughts according to Scripture. And what's the connection between this and the fire and the passion burning in our heart? Let me quickly illustrate it like this. Remember, after His resurrection, Jesus appeared to the two disciples walking down the road to Emmaus. And Jesus appears to these disciples. They didn't recognize it was Jesus, but Jesus joins them as they're walking along and they're talking. And Jesus asks, what you're talking about? And they said, haven't you heard? And they start telling Jesus about how He has been crucified. And then Jesus began to share with them Scripture. And then as they come to the point where the disciples were going to turn to where they were staying, Jesus acted as if He was going to keep going. And the disciples said, well, come with us. And so Jesus went with them. They started having a meal together. And when Jesus began to pray for the meal, they recognized who it was, and then Jesus disappeared. But the disciples said in Luke 24, verse 32, the disciples said, did not our hearts burn within us as He shared the Scripture with us? There's something about the Scripture that causes our hearts to burn within us. It happened back then and it still happens today. A sound mind based on God's word makes us bold and courageous, filled with passion, not filled with a spirit of fear. As we put these three logs that God has given to us on that ember, the power of the Holy Spirit, an assurance of His love, and a sound mind based on His word, the fire of passion begins to rise. Excitement rises up. Enthusiasm rises up. Expectancy rises up. Yes, I may have problems, but I've got the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I may have problems, but I know that God loves me. Yes, I may have problems, but I know this is what God says in His word. We were meant to be bold and courageous. And so then thirdly and lastly, what are the results? What are the results of the fire? What does the fire do? What does the passion do? Why is this important anyway? Why did Paul tell the Romans, be fervent in spirit? Why? Why? Well, let me first of all give you a negative reason why. Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus speaking there, He said, the lukewarm I will spew out of my mouth. Now, I don't know what all the ramifications are of all that, but it doesn't sound like a compliment. So it doesn't sound like we want to go in that direction when He says, the lukewarm I will spew out of my mouth. But what does the fire, what does the passion do? Let me quickly mention. First of all, the fire will attract others to what we have. Hey, have you ever noticed that wherever there's a fire, there's people gathered around it? I mean, it doesn't matter what the fire is or where the fire is, there's going to be people around that fire. I remember when we were in our first pastorate in Minnesota, the fire department was going to burn down a house in town, a vacant house, burn it down for practice. And Beth got wind of that fact, and so she beelined it back to the house, and she got this huge bowl and a bowl of popcorn. She made this huge bowl of popcorn, got our two sons, and she beelined it over to that house they were going to burn down. But she wasn't the only one there. There was all kinds of people there. There's something about a fire that attracts people. Hey, the fire burning in our life attracts others to what we've got. If we're not excited about what we've got, then why in the world would anybody want what we've got? We need to be excited about what we have. The fire will attract others to what we have. Secondly, the fire strengthens us. Just like fire strengthens steel, the fire will strengthen us. Thirdly, the fire will purify us. Just like fire purifies ore, the fire has a purifying effect in our life. We just want to be right with God. We want to be right with the people around us. Fourthly, the fire will influence others. Just like a fire in the natural warms the people around it, the spiritual fire in our life has an impact on those around us. Fifthly, the fire gets results. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You ever notice how it was persistence and passion and fire that got results in the stories that Jesus even told? There was the man who had guests come at midnight to his home. He had no bread to give them. And so the man went to the neighbor's house to ask for bread that he could give to his guests. The man told him, go away, we're sleeping. And the man kept knocking, though. The man who needed the bread kept knocking, kept knocking, kept knocking, kept knocking. And it was his persistence, it was his passion, it was his fire that got results. The guy finally got up and gave him the bread. The other illustrations illustrate the same thing. The woman before the unjust judge, she kept coming, she kept coming, she kept coming. It was the woman with the issue of blood. She pushed her way through the crowd. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. It was their passion that got results. And then also the fire is a source of energy, a source of power. Passion produces power. Power follows passion. Jensen Franklin said it this way, you cannot be passive or stoic about your faith and experience a manifestation of his resurrection power in your life. The fire for Jesus leads to power. In closing this morning, John Wesley, the great founder of the great Methodist movement years and years and years ago, John Wesley said this regarding his movement. John Wesley said, my fear is not that our great movement will eventually cease to exist or one day die. He had no fear, no concern that one day the Methodist movement would cease to exist. He was convinced there would always be Methodists and there would always be a Methodist movement. That was not his fear. Listen to what his fear is. He said, my fear is that our people will become content to live without the fire, to live without the power, to live without the excitement, and to live without the supernatural element that makes us great. That's what his fear was. Not that the movement would cease to exist, but that the people would become content to live without the fire, live without the power, live without the excitement, and to live without the supernatural element that makes us great. Let's not be content to live without the fire, live without the power, live without the supernatural element, and to live without the excitement. We serve a very passionate God. He's not cold, he's not stoic, he's not aloof, he's not indifferent. He's passionate about us. The Bible says he comes running to you and I in a time of need. The Bible says he rejoices over us. The Bible says he's jealous for us. The Bible says he thinks about us. He is passionate about us. And he wants us to be passionate about him. So what does it mean? If I could capsulize it in simply these terms, what does it mean to have a passion and a fire for Jesus? It simply means that Jesus is the most important and the most exciting thing in our life. That's what it means. He's the most important and the most exciting thing in our life. It's not how loud we are. It's not how demonstrative we are. It's not how expressive we are. But it's that Jesus is the most important and the most exciting thing in our life. And in Matthew 11:12, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven has forcefully advanced, and the strong take it by force." One translation says, "The hot-hearted take it by force." Paul says, "Be fervent in spirit, be hot, be boiling." Let's be people who desire the fire, the power, the excitement, and the supernatural in our lives. Let me finish it in this way. Years ago, they had many of the same races they have today in the Olympics. But there's a race they had back then that we don't have today. And it was a very unique race where the runners were gathered at the starting line. Every one of the runners was given a torch, and the torch was lit. And the marksman would then say, "On your marks, get ready, get set, go." And they'd start running down the track with the torch and the fire burning. But the challenge of the race was they not only had to cross the finish line, but they had to cross the finish line with the fire burning. I want to cross the finish line with the fire burning. How about you? Let's be people who desire to cross the finish line with the fire burning. Not content to be without the fire, the power, the excitement, or the supernatural, but to cross the finish line with the fire burning. Let's bow our heads together in prayer this morning. Beth, if you'll come to the keyboard, please. Father, this morning we thank you and we praise you from the very depths of our heart for who you are. Father, this morning we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Father, this morning we are so thankful for Jesus. Because, Father, we realize that without Jesus, we would have no relationship with you. Without Jesus, we'd be on our own to make it in this life. Without Jesus, we would have no home waiting for us in heaven. Without Jesus, we'd have nothing of real substance to be excited about. But, oh, Father, we are so thankful and so grateful for Jesus. And that we can have a relationship with you through Jesus. We can have a home waiting for us in heaven because of Jesus. Father, we're just so thankful for Jesus this morning. And Father, we thank you for the life that Jesus has promised. Father, we also realize you never force anything on anybody. But you wait for us to open the doors and the windows of our life. Father, we pray in the closing moments of this service, we would open the doors and the windows of our life, allowing your work to be furthered within us, taking us from wherever we are at in our life to new heights, new dimensions, new workings, helping us to not have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Helping us to be what you want us to be. To do what you want us to do. Father, in these next few moments, do things that only you can as we give you access to our lives. This morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, please. I don't know each person here this morning, and I don't know where you are at in your spiritual life. This morning you might say, "Preacher, I've come into this service and I've never made a commitment to my life to Jesus Christ." And without a commitment of our life to Jesus, we have no relationship with God. Without Jesus, we have no home waiting for us in heaven. Without Jesus, we have nothing. But the good news this morning is Jesus stands with his arms wide open saying, "Come back, come to me. I will cleanse you. I will forgive you. I'll make you a child of God. I'll be with you while you walk on this earth. I'll prepare a home for in heaven when this life is done." But it all starts with a commitment of our life to Jesus. And this morning he stands with his arms wide open waiting for you. Second of all, you might be here this morning and say, "Preacher, I've done that before. But you know that as soon as you're sitting here this morning, you're not living by that commitment you made to Christ. And something we committed our life to years ago, but we're not living by today, doesn't do us any good. The issue isn't years ago. The issue is where we at this morning. But the good news this morning is Jesus stands with his arms wide open saying, come back to me. Come back to me. I will cleanse you. I will forgive you. I will restore you. I still got a plan for your life. He's waiting for you with open arms. Thirdly, you might be here this morning and say, preacher, I am a follower of Jesus. But there's stuff in my life that shouldn't be there. And I need Jesus to cleanse me, to wash me, to forgive me of the sin in my life. And this morning, Jesus stands with his arms wide open, waiting to cleanse, to wash, to forgive. If we're just willing to admit and acknowledge our need of his cleansing and forgiveness, and be willing to repent and turn from the sin, he stands with his arms wide open, waiting. He's just waiting. This morning, in this first altar call, we're not going to have you come forward, but just simply right where you're seated this morning. In a moment, if you need to make that commitment of your life to Christ, or you need to recommit your life to Christ, or you need cleansing and forgiveness from sin, in a moment we're going to ask you to slip up your hand, and then we're going to have one word of prayer for everyone who slips up their hand this morning. So this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, please. This morning, if you need to make that commitment of your life to Christ, or you need to recommit your life to Christ, or you need cleansing and forgiveness from sin, this morning, right here, right now, right where you're at, just slip up that hand right now. Just slip it up right now. Slip it up quickly. Slip it up. I see the hand. You may put it down. I see that one. You may put it down. I see that one and that one and that one. Are there still others? Are there still others? We'll wait a moment longer. Still others. Still others. Father, this morning you've seen uplifted hands across this auditorium. Father, you know why individuals have raised a hand this morning. Father, whether it's to make a first-time commitment of their life to Jesus or to recommit their life to Christ or for cleansing and forgiveness from sin. And Father, this morning we ask that you'll minister to the very reason why they've raised a hand this morning. I pray, Father, this morning you will cleanse them, you will wash them, you will forgive them of the sin in their life. As they, in this quiet moment, as they admit and acknowledge their sin to you, the forgiver of sins, and they ask you to cleanse them, to wash them, and to forgive them of the sin in their life. And Father, we pray this morning that you will come and live within them by your Holy Spirit if you're not already there. And Father, we ask that you will help them as they live for Jesus from this day on. We thank you for your cleansing and forgiveness. Thank you that you dwell within us. Thank you that you're going to help us as we live for Jesus from this day on. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. And we just pray this with thanksgiving in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let's all stand together, please, if we could. Everyone standing, please, unless you're physically unable to stand. This morning, if you made a first-time commitment of your life to Christ, we encourage you to let one of the pastors know. They'll give you a Bible, give you materials to go on in your life in Jesus. But there's one more thing we'd like to do before we turn the service over to the pastor this morning. You know, in every service, we always give people an opportunity to respond to the crux of the message this morning. And I trust that your prayer and your desire would be as mine would be this morning. I just want that fire and that passion to burn brighter and hotter in my life than ever before. In a moment, Beth's going to sing the chorus, "More Love, More Power, More of You in My Life." I trust that is your prayer as well as mine. More love, more power, more of you in my life. God, remove the fear and fill me with your power, your love, and a sound mind in a greater way than wherever I'm at this morning. And that should be the prayer of every believer, whether we just became one a minute ago or we've been one for decades. That should be our prayer. So in a moment when Beth sings that old chorus, "More love, more power, more of you in my life," if that is your prayer, in a moment we're going to ask you to step out of those seats. Going to ask you to come and stand in this front altar area. And then I'm going to lead us in prayer. You might say, well, why do you have people come forward? We always have people come forward because by coming forward, we're saying to God, by coming forward, we're serving notice on the devil. By coming forward, we're saying to one another. And by coming forward, we're saying to ourselves, I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want to go forward. I want to go ahead. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want to go forward. I want to go ahead in my spiritual life. And that's what revival is really about. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want to go forward. I want to go ahead. And so in a moment, we're going to ask you to come. I heard a district superintendent say at the Iowa District Council last year, Iowa District Superintendent from the North Carolina District, he made this blunt statement. He said, when we move, God moves. When we move, God moves. So we're asking you to take steps this morning. And as we come, we're not coming to meet an evangelist, but we're coming believing the promise when God says, draw near unto God and He'll draw near unto you. And so in a moment when she begins to sing, if that is your prayer, you come. Then I'm going to lead us in prayer and then we're going to turn it over to the pastor for the closing. But you come this morning if that is your prayer, and it should be of every believer in this place this morning. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want to go forward. I want to go ahead. You come this morning as Beth begins to sing. Come, come, come. Step out those seats and come, come, come. Come this morning. Everybody should be coming. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want to go forward. I want to go ahead. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, keep coming. Oh, yes, my God. Yes, my God. Yes, my God. Oh, yes, my God. Oh, more fire, more power, more passion. Oh, remove the fear from our lives. Oh, let the fire burn brighter and hotter and more intensely than ever before. Oh, yes, my God. Yes, my God. Yes, my God. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I don't want to stay where I'm at. Oh, Rabakandarakaya. Oh, yes, Lord. Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, this morning you see the beautiful sight. Father, an altar filled from side to side, front to back of people. People who are praying as I'm praying. Father, people who are praying, I don't want to stay where I'm at, but I want to go forward. I want to go ahead. I want the fire to burn brighter and hotter and more intensely than ever in my life. I want Jesus to be the most important thing in my life more than ever before. More important than anything else in my life. I want Jesus to be the most important thing in my life. And Father, this morning we've come to this altar, Father, not to meet an evangelist, but we've come to this altar believing the promise of your word. Draw near unto God and He'll draw near unto you. Believing that you are here by your Holy Spirit at this altar. Father, you are here this morning honoring the requests and the desires of individuals. Father God, as they're asking you to work in their hearts and their lives, Father, do what only you can do by the working of your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that you will remove the fear from our lives. Father, where there may be fear, there may be timidity. Father God, we pray that in the name of Jesus, that fear would be gone in Jesus' name. Father, that fear would be gone and that fear would be replaced by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father. That your Holy Spirit will be released in our lives in a greater way than ever before. Father, that we will step out, Father, in boldness and in faith to see the power of your Holy Spirit released from our lives in ways like never before. Father God, we hunger and desire for the releasing of the power of your Holy Spirit in a greater way. And Father, this morning you know each individual at this altar. Father, you know the circumstances of their lives. And Father, we pray that in the name of Jesus, there will be a greater assurance than ever before of how much you love us. That Father, we will know that we will know that we know that we will know that you love us. Father God, that you know this morning, if there are individuals here this morning who are perhaps in difficult times, difficult situations, Father God, that your Holy Spirit will brand into their hearts how much you love them and you are there with them and you will see them through. Father, we pray that you will just assure them in ways that only you can, Father, of how much you love them, even in the circumstances they may be in this morning. And Father, we pray this morning that you will help us to be people of a sound mind. Father, having a sound mind, a mind that is based upon your word, not allowing the enemy to lie to us, not allowing the enemy to deceive us, not allowing the enemy to scare us. But, oh, Father, help us to be people of a sound mind, a mind that is based upon your word. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Father, help us to have that mindset. And, oh, Father, thank you for what you're doing at Calvary Assembly. And, oh, Father, we look forward to what you're going to continue to do at Calvary Assembly in the coming days. And, Father, we'll give you thanks and praise for what you're going to do in the church, what you're going to do in the lives of individuals. We'll give you thanks and praise and glory. And, Father, we ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. If I can tell one last story, and then I promise I'll be quiet. One last story. It's a true story actually told by a man named Samuel Skull. He had settled in the Arizona desert with his family. And one night, a fierce desert storm struck with hail, rain, and high winds. The hail had beaten the garden into the ground. The house was partially unroofed. The hen house had blown away. There were dead chickens everywhere. Destruction and devastation were everywhere. Well, early the next morning, while standing dazed, evaluating the mess and wondering about the future, Samuel Skull, he heard a stirring in the lumber pile that was the remains of the hen house. A rooster was climbing up and continued until he had mounted the highest board in the pile. That old rooster was dripping wet. Most of his feathers were blown away. But as the sun came over the eastern horizon, he flapped his bony wings and he proudly crowed. That beat up featherless rooster amidst all the chaos and devastation still crowed, announcing it was the beginning of a new day. Why? Because it was his nature to do so. The application. Winds of adversity may have blown through your life. Your world may even be falling apart. But if you'll look closely enough, you'll see the light of God's faithfulness shining through the debris. And you can rise above the devastation because it's in your nature to overcome. It's in your nature to overcome. Paul says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. More than conquerors. I heard a unique definition of that by a preacher this past week. They simply said it this way. A conqueror is somebody who goes and conquers. You know what a more than a conqueror is? It's somebody who knows that they're a conqueror before they've even conquered. That's more than a conqueror. You know it ahead of time. You and I, we know it ahead of time. We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. More than conquerors. So, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's go with that, living the Spirit-filled life, and let's see what God is going to do in the coming days. God bless you. You may return to your seats, and Pastor, if you'd come, please. Hallelujah.